Welcome to Imagine This Podcast, where we discuss, celebrate, and highlight all of the excellent and abundant arts and culture in Milwaukee.
We hope that after listening to the pod, you'll see and experience our city and the incredible, vibrant arts and culture community in a new way.
I'm David Lee.
And I'm Mac Antigua. Yup. Welcome back. Tag team back again. I love referencing late 90s one-offs.
Is this the Crockett Cup?
We have just started, just in the last 1 minute, we've alienated so much of our audience. But there's like two people that are like pumping their fists like, these guys understand me. I listen to 90s music and watch obscure pro wrestling. But speaking of, that's not this pod.
Although we probably need to record the Lindsay pro wrestling Pechacucha. I wonder if she'll invite us to her pod to do to do a talk about performance art in pro wrestling.
So yeah, for those of you that are listening at home who don't come to our staff meetings, one of our teammates we'll talk about her new pod, but Lindsay is really done with me and David talking about how pro wrestling has art. And she's like, she did say like, listen, I'm open to understanding, to which she accepted a Pechacucha, which for those don't know, is a 24 slide presentation where you're only allowed to do like 30 seconds a slide or something like that. So the door is open for her to learn and hopefully be converted that pro wrestling has merit and value as a way to interpret culture or interpret our time. So now you're at updated and we look forward to updating you how successful that went.
Oh, that goes.
Yeah. But speaking of Lindsay, who's doing, wait, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and if you hear the episode on Arts Forward MKE about pro wrestling, you'll know that she's accepted that pitch for her new pod,
that's how you know mission accomplished, right? we won. At that point, we won. But speaking of, let's just do a love quick plug at Arts Forward Milwaukee, Arts Forward MKE. Which just started recently and is blazing up the podcast charts.
It's been really, it's definitely worth listening. I mean, I think we joked a little bit about it, but she really does have like a Krista Tippett vibe on the microphone. It's really lovely. And this last week, she had a pod with Ken Brown, who, as many of you know, is doing the Hero in You mural installation at MacArthur Square Park, which is really, really exciting. And Ken's background story is just so interesting about how he got into his mural style and some of his views on the role of artists in the civic fabric, I think is just really, really, really cool and definitely worth a listen. So check it out at Arts Forward MKE. You can subscribe where you get your favorite podcasts.
On that theme, right, of how, you know, Ken is helping develop the city with his art, that's today's episode. We were talking about Arts for Development and just setting the stage. Milwaukee's, you know, has some actually interesting things working in that favor. For example, you know, the Arch program provides matching loans for people to buy city-owned or foreclosed property. They'll be used for arts or other community-focused activities. So that's an example of how artists are being supported to accelerate the city. You know, the idea of that is once an arts organization or gallery is developed in an area, like at a Giselle's or Five Points, if you will, that it'll attract other similar projects and businesses that will come and cluster around it. So that's an approach that's been happening in Milwaukee, but on this pod, we're excited to focus on another way you go, which is in the theme of go big or go home. You got to come with the apartments, the businesses, opportunities for entrepreneurs, you know, schooling in it. And that project we're going to focus on as a $60 million project is coming to the Century City area that will do all those things, new apartments, a business incubator, as well as spaces for artists to work and show. And so we're excited to have Q El Amin, who's a principal at Scott Crawford, Michael Wesley, who's the president at Urban Communities, and Rehanio Boynes, aka Ray Nitty, who's a principal at Sharp Creatives. That is not a three-man tag championship, but rather, right? You love how I keep
Survivor Series. It's a Survivor Series.
It's not just that they are right now the inspiring us because they landed this whale of a project. They're going to talk about the origin story of this project, as well as their vision for what it means for the Central City Corridor and the future of Milwaukee. And take us in there is Song Bao by Ray Welcome, Q, Michael, and Ray. I'm excited. I got juice because this is the biggest show we've ever had. So that means exponentially the content is going to be exponentially better because we got some monsters on this pod. Welcome, gentlemen. Can you please nervous laughter all around? Could you just briefly introduce yourself so we can just calibrate voices? And we'll start. Q, we'll start with you, and then we'll go to Mike Kale after that.
Hello, this is Q Elamine from Scott Crawford Incorporated, also Young Enterprise Society. Thanks for having me on the show today, as well as our partners.
Awesome. And also, by the way, Q, don't bury the lead. Also, one of Milwaukee's 40 under 40.
Yeah, 40 under 40. Thank you to the Business Journal for that success, along with my brother, Khalif. We were both on there this year, along with a lot of great other people.
That speaks to how much hardware Q brings in. He's like, oh, yeah, that's right. That happened. I'm sorry.
That thing happened. It was pre-COVID, though.
That was a lifetime ago. All right. Michael, please introduce yourself.
Good morning. Michael Wesley with Urbane Communities. And Echo Q, really appreciative of you guys having us on this morning.
Awesome. And Ray.
This is me. Ray Nitty, the monster. No, what do you say? The giant, what do you call us? Giants? You call us monsters? But no, it's Ray Nitty, checking in. Sharp Creatives, Creative Corridor, Bao, whatever you want to call me, the Caribbean guy, the island boy, wherever you are, deal with. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it. Thanks for having us.
I feel this is like Michael Buffer before they introduced Apollo Creed and Rocky II. Like the 10-minute intro for him. It's like a man who needs no introduction in the Western civilized world. All right. So, but seriously, this is just how we got these amazing folks on the pod. Just a quick recap. We like to celebrate joyful abundance here at Imagine MKE in terms of the arts and culture world in Milwaukee. We invited all of our team to name, we constantly name, what are you excited about? What do you want to celebrate? And so we generate ideas and then we vote on them every 2 weeks. And our teammate Antoine Carter named the story about you all putting this development together. And when he shared it, we're like, that's what we want to celebrate. Our inaugural rock stars of the network. And while it might not on first blush, you know, oh, wow, housing development, arts and culture, you know, as we delve in the story, we'll definitely see the overlap and the power of it. So congratulations on being inaugural. But we'll have to create some sort of championship belt. Championship belt for y'all. Welcome aboard. And just tell us a bit about the origin story, not just about yourselves, but also how this particular collaboration for the three of you came together.
Yeah, so this project came out of kind of like every startup, other failed projects. So we were looking up further north in Sheboygan at a project, and it didn't happen. It didn't go through. We couldn't get an agreement with the owners. And a broker, Jennifer Green, then called and said, hey, look at this project that's in the corridor. And I sit on the 3rd Street Industrial Corridor Board. And as a part of that, you know, I was always looking into the area. And when she called and picked out this, you know, building and said, come look at it, you know, instantaneously fell in love with it. And it was such a big pull. You know, we knew we needed help. And so that's when I called in Ray and Michael, and this was 4 years ago now.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
And so from that time, we got site control of the building. And, you know, it was putting together pennies and dollars and everything there to raise that first capital on getting it going.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, Ray and I were driving around one day, just driving around, looking at properties just all over the city. Yeah. And we were driving up center, and Ray was like, oh, look at this big old builder, it's for sale. They got a number on the side and everything. So we pulled over and took the number down. And then, like, right after that, like, Q call, and I was like, oh yeah, well,
let's like a day or two later.
No brainer. Wow. Yeah, let's do this. You know, so wow. So it all was just lining up, you know, the right way.
I think that's like the one of the hallmarks of what we like to call, as Max said, joyful abundance, right? Like you want to do something and sort of things just kind of align because there's just so much there's so much possibility out there, right? And it seems like I've been hearing about this from Ray and from Antoine and from some other folks in the community for the last few months that it's sort of been in the works. How did it feel to actually get all of the financing together to actually buy the site, right? Because now you guys have the property, right? And now it's the development piece that has to come into play, right?
It felt good.
Now the work starts, right?
Yeah, it felt good, at least for me. This is Q, Elamine again. And it felt good to get to that point. But then when you get to that one step, it's just a whole another level of challenges that come with it. Mm-hmm. So it did feel good to get to there, but we also knew that it's a lot more work and just every day at the site pretty much.
Yeah.
I sort of think about my house, right? Like, you know, if I sort of just like doing development, quote unquote, on my house, like fixing it up, like we have a finished basement, but it's not like finished. And just even thinking about like getting that to a place where it, you know, has like walls and stuff, it kicks my butt, right? I can't imagine what you guys are dealing with.
No, it definitely, this is Ray checking in. Yeah. It definitely felt, it felt great. Q used the word good. I'm gonna say great, amazing, like fantastic. Like I felt like a weight was lifted off of our shoulders. Cause like, just, you know, like we've been together for like 4+ years now on this. So it's like, you become like a family. And it's like, for me, it was like, I was seeing what my brothers was going through every time we didn't get approved for something, right? So at one point, Q was like, this was before our last one, if I'm not mistaken. Q was like, man, I'm looking for houses in Atlanta. I'm getting out of here, man. me and Mikel riding around like sad. I just got back from Thailand. And it was like, what the heck? Like, no, this can't be. This is like year three. And for me, it was like, this project represented talent retention, right? So for me, as somebody that's vocal for talent retention, who am I if I let a gem like Q Elamine leave the city of Milwaukee and go make another place like Atlanta, what's already popping, greater? So I was like, man, we got to figure it out. We can't give up. Let's regroup. And this time around, we did it, man. So it's just like showing the persistence, the need for staying persistence, and for me, the importance of retaining our homegrown talent.
Now, the definition of an insanity, right, is doing the same thing over and over and expecting a different result, right? That's one definition. Mm-hmm. And it sounds like you've been pounding the rock for several years. Could you speak to what might have been? Was there anything different you all tried, or maybe there was something different in the system that shifted? You know, could you speak to how did you all meet that moment, or what was maybe, was there something innovative in a different way, right, that captured people's fancy? Could you speak to that? Because again, it sounded overnight success, but this is a 4-year overnight success, yeah. Right? This took time to get this together.
So the one thing that we did that was different was we went for the non-competitive tax credits. We were going for competitive every time. And I think because of the sheer size of the project, WIDA was uncomfortable granting us the tax credits because of that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in the city department, I think there was some hesitation because of the number of units, the amount. And so when we went non-competitive, it was, you really couldn't tell us no, because it was no reason to tell us no. So it was almost like a forced hand. Yeah. And in addition, our partners on the deal, which are Worst Communities out of Minnesota, they really came with the financial capacity. So when you brought that to the table with what we had done, and we didn't know we were working on this for 3 years because we had applied to them four times before this. Mm-hmm. And so when they saw that addition to the financial capacity that Roars brought, it was for them, I'd say, a good deal at that point.
Yeah. And this is Mike Hill again. And the meeting Ray is referring to when we were driving around sad, and we called Q, he was at Casablanca, and went down there and met with him. We just started talking, and you know, this was a lot of the things we were talking about then, just trying to strategize, figure out another way that we could do it. You know, we could rework the numbers, can we figure something out? And because of the way our capital stack is set up currently, the non-competitive really made a lot of sense. Mm-hmm. It was just seeing if the numbers were going to work. Mm-hmm. And they did. And so, you know, that's just part of it with development. And it's something Q and I were in the acre program. And I remember a developer, Kayla Haywood, told us that development is getting everyone to sit at the table and do this at the same time. And literally, it's like that, because as soon as we get a lot of people doing this, somebody's going like this. And so then you have to figure out how to get that person going like this. To shake his head, yeah. So
getting everybody to nod at the same time, getting that photographed. It's like, you all said this. Let's move forward, right? And wow.
Can you describe just really quickly for those of us in the listener audience who don't know about tax credits, what's the difference between competitive and non-competitive tax credits, and why were they more favorable to you in this context?
So the competitive tax credits, you have developers from all over the country that put in applications that are scored by WIDA to receive a set amount of tax credits each year. The tax credits are then sold to large banks or investors, and then the developer uses that money to fund the construction of the development in exchange for having lower rental amounts. And so the non-competitive is a lower amount. It's approximately a third of the amount that's given for the competitive tax credits. But because the states have so much of them, they're just trying to give them away. But because essentially the rent amounts are the same for the competitive and the non-competitive, it's usually no way to make the numbers work because you're only getting a third of the credits. And so the WIDA was open to letting us access as much of the non-competitive because they have so many of them that wasn't taken away from other projects being completed around the state.
That's really interesting. So because the rental rates are the same, other developers can't make up the cost, right?
Yes.
That's interesting.
What about this deal, right? This development is pretty extensive. It's a lot. It's pretty ambitious, which is, again, it inspires me. I'm curious for each of you, is there an element of it that you feel like that's your, like, ooh, that's the part that gets me most excited? Maybe y'all have the aim thing, but just sort of wondering, you stuck at it for this long. There had to be elements of this. Like, that's my baby. Like, I got to make sure that stays in. Can you speak to what element of it does that for you?
I think for me part of it was just the chance to make this type of history. You know, we've had so many different narratives over this course of this process of what we're trying to do. We've had people saying, why would you invest that much money into a neighborhood that hasn't seen that type of investment in a long time? And so, you know, the opportunity to be able to make that type of dent in Milwaukee, to be able to say, yeah, we invested, you know, $60 million into a neighborhood that traditionally wouldn't see this type of investment, and look what's come from it. To me, that's just that end goal was just the thing that was motivating for me and for my partners, I feel, to keep going, to keep trying, you know, and no matter how many times we were getting denied, we knew that this was something that was viable, that the city wanted. We had a lot of support from the neighborhood. And so that end goal and being able to do something of this of this level was something that was really the reason why I, you know, really wanted us to stick it out and see it through.
Yeah, and this is Ray. I'll echo Michael's remarks as well. For me, it was just like he said, the opportunity to do something that has never been done on the North side before. And, you know, traditionally the North side always gets told, oh, just wait, the developments are coming. We have to take care of the downtown areas and those surrounding areas. And, you know, it's been 10 plus years of that now, right? So it's like, all right, I'm 36 years old now. You're not going to just keep telling me to wait. I'm 46 and I can't enjoy it. So no, it was an opportunity for us to like be proactive and like stick something out and like re-inspire and re-energize a side of town that is known for everything terrible for the African-American community, whether it's mass incarceration, the job, employment, education, all of those things. So it's just being able to have an impact in not the people's lives that will be living in those 197 units, but also the impact of the neighborhood that will be living around development as well. And obviously the easy answer for me is the creative corridor, right? But like all the creativity, all the artists, all the things that's gonna go on in there, I could say, yeah, that's the thing that I'm like, oh, that has to be there. It has to be that. But like the overall impact of like seeing something that has never been done before in today's time, I feel like that's what was more important for me.
I mean, I can also just echo, I think we oftentimes in Milwaukee, we talk about changing the narrative. Yeah. I think it's more about changing the actions. And once you do that, you can change people's like perception, because it's still shocking when we go to the building and we have the keys. Like people's image of like what black person, a black male is in Milwaukee always changes, because they're always looking for somebody else to come and open the door. It's like, y'all have the keys to all of this? And they're like, to this guy and this guy? And they like the cops to come or something to happen. They change it. But just having that, you know, is one thing. And then about just bringing that many. In Milwaukee, we don't have any black subdivisions. We have Halyard Park, which is probably the closest. So for people to understand that African Americans can live in one place and just be normal is like something that nobody can understand because they had never seen it before.
Yeah.
So changing, and then the fact that it's such a large number, it just shows that people can do this and like think outside of just the Milwaukee small box. And so, that was the things that was like taking it to that just that next level. And the fact that, again, we're doing it as African-American males working together. Like, we don't argue, we don't fight. We're not trying to scam each other. But, like, just those narratives changing things. Yeah. Just change the perception, you know.
I think the thing kind of for me, going back to Michael's comment about the questions you guys have gotten, right? Like why would you invest that much in this neighborhood? I think the question says more about the asker than it does about you all, right? Like why wouldn't, right? Like why wouldn't people, why wouldn't we as a city or as developers or as people who care about our city invest that much in this neighborhood? Because that question, that mind frame that people have, or that some folks have had, like what's the narrative that people are getting who live in that neighborhood, right? Like that's the thing that, like, you know, the actions to your point, Q, change is when people change how they react to and how they interact with people in the center of our city, that leads to how other people then can kind of have a different perception of the value that's there, right? And I think that to me is what's so exciting about this, is that by bringing in all of this outside investment to create this incredible place with a business incubator and sort of as part of the creative corridor, what we're saying, right, what you all are saying, is that there's incredible value and we're gonna, you know, uplift, right, all of it. It's just, it's so inspiring.
So much value we got these cats from Minnesota to throw in. Like they see it. Like why don't we don't see it? These guys see it. What is it gonna take for y'all to see it? And I think that's the exciting part. Now people go, why not? Right. You know, why not me? You know, they see you three. It's like, why not me? That's not a knock on y'all, but it's sort of like, shoot, there's a lot of talent here. you know, and, and again, if it's worth investing in this part, then what do we got to do? Invest around that. And hopefully it becomes contagious, right? And hopefully it becomes.
So what you just highlighted, right? It was a real problem for the city, right? Mm-hmm. Like we all traditionally creatives, artists, whoever, like you have to go out for somebody else to see the value of like what it is that you're trying to bring to a table that's in your hometown. And traditionally the story is like, okay, I went to Atlanta and somebody believed in me or believed in a project or idea and they invested in it. And now I'm doing great. Now what happens is Milwaukee has done a good job at like really like forming a callus on some of our creatives that have left. Yeah. So it's hard for them to feel like, oh, I'm coming back here. So I feel like for us, the creative corridor represents like, okay, yes, we're building a spot where our homegrown talent, because I want to get rid of the word local talent, our homegrown talent, it has a spot that we could plug into and get those same resources and access that's needed, but also our homegrown talent that had left and is successful, they could come back to the same place and plug in and do some other things, which we have with Business Boy and Prep and a bunch of our other great people in the city coming back home.
Why? So out of curiosity, why do you think that is that Milwaukee has a tendency to not recognize the incredible talent of its artists and creatives, and that leads them to have to go elsewhere?
I personally feel is because it's two things to it, right? One, they just don't necessarily see creatives as like a value, like, oh, these are people that we need to have at the table, right? And now we're seeing that where the world has paused and everybody wants to be creative now. So creatives are seeming to be at like every table in the world right now, right? And then the other thing in that in my mind is our homegrown talent, we have to start to begin to understand our values and not accept anything less than our value, right? So once we as a whole, as a creative community, decide that, okay, we do have value and this is the value and I'm not belittling that value or doing it for $20 just because, like, it's an opportunity. And you know, you all know how that world works. It's a grant that comes out for $10 billion and then they pay a saxophone player to come entertain the big conference that's happening with it. They give him $200, right? So it's like understanding that like creatives and artists are a part of our economy and putting that value on that, and then us putting the value on ourselves.
I think that last part about us putting the value on ourselves is powerful too, Ray, because too often creatives and just folks who want to do big things sometimes shortchange themselves. Sometimes you know, and it could be self-doubt or it could just be like, how would somebody pay me this much to do, you know, do this or do that? And so it's something that we talk about all the time with inspiring entrepreneurs, is knowing your own value and knowing how to articulate that value. And if you can really articulate your value and you understand your value, your worth, it's hard for folks not to see it, you know, and it's hard for folks not to invest in that type of talent. When you can articulate how valuable your talent is and you know your worth.
Well, there's a lot of talent on this call. As evident, you know, we don't need one deal to prove that. It's definitely to get to that point, as well as the work that you've all done outside of that. And so that's why we want to make you all, each of you, the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee. Not as a combo. Mm-hmm. You are going to each have your own term. The challenge is that the term ends as soon as this call ends, right? So we got juice, but we don't got a lot of juice. So we're going to give each of you a moment to share what is a policy on arts and culture. If you were the czar of arts and culture in Milwaukee, you might have been hinting at it already, but you're going to get a chance to make it official. And we're going to pass it around here. We'd love to hear what would be the policy to make Milwaukee a powerful arts and culture city, a prosperous and inclusive one. So who will begin sharing what their that policy they would want to enact?
I guess Ray is starting. I'll kind of freestyle this, right? I'll even give myself a pat on the back and say we've already helped start implementing some policies for creatives. Yeah. I want to shout out Alderwoman Cogs and Alderman Stamper for the ARCH program, which is taking city-owned houses and turning them into artists in residency spaces. So it's about three ARCH programs now that are on the books for the city of Milwaukee. And the city gives $100,000, $25,000 to each house for the artist to help with rehab and things of that nature. So that's some of the policies that's already in place. But policies, I would like to see, whether that's at a state level or a county level or a city level, right? Departments that is focused on talent retention and talent elevation, right? Investment, let's say retention and investment. And what that focuses on is, distressed communities where kids are extremely creative, but all the creative things have been pulled out of the programs for them, and figure out how we invest in them that way, putting it back into schools, after school programs, things of that nature. So I'll probably figure out some sort of talent investment and retention department. And they got to have $1 billion to operate though.
Yeah,
Ray's like, I want that budget. Don't shortchange me.
I'm dead ass serious. Dead serious.
I believe that. Thank you. Thanks for getting that started. Who's next? We'll keep that policy going. That's in play. What's another policy? Pass it around.
Well, this is Q. Yeah. And the policy that I would pass would probably be tax credit. So it would be a mix between like the film tax credit and like creative tax credit. We have them in WDC as a qualified new business venture. So if you invest $100, I'm just giving even numbers, if you invest $100, then you get $25 tax credit if you invest in the tech companies. So that's the same thing should be if we invest into music artists, if we invest into films. And in that way, we would bring a lot of outside films into Wisconsin, but then also a lot of the artists that, you know, need push, you need to put some money behind an album or a video, that person would get the actual a tax break for doing that. So that's what I would institute.
Great. Thanks, Q. Mikhail.
Yeah, I was thinking along the same lines as Q with this one, having some type of tax break or something to really incentivize investment in talent here, whether it's some type of tax credit or something like that, but some type of tax break that would, you know, really incentivize someone to want to invest in our local talent and us being able to really build that up so that it's attractive to folks to want to invest.
That's why we need more guests on, because you have these policies that layer on top of each other. Right. And then it becomes even more of a multiplier effect. That's right, Matt. Appreciate you all.
I don't know how you build from $1 billion of budget. does the tax credit money come from that $1 billion? Or are we just continuing to layer? Right? I'm all for either. I just want to be clear as to like what we're trying to go for.
Man, I figure we found all this extra money for stimulus to send out.
Yeah. Ray's like, we've been putting this money in other countries. So let's put it back in here, man. We can do this. We figure this out.
We find it and it's here. And it's here in other places. So my logic, right? Here's my logic. Real logic. It's costing us $60 million to redevelop a building, right? Brick and mortar. This brick and mortar is then supposed to house and redevelop and empower families, people, businesses, lives, community, right? So how much, my common sense, how much does it cost to redevelop those lives, people, businesses, and community? Bare minimum, we would say what? Another $60 million? And can we say human life is worth twice as much? So we're at 120 right there, Mac. So like, and then I'm straight up like, look at all the city owned houses that are in the 15th automatic district. Look at all the lack of trauma response resources for people that are in those communities. And I'll even say this, the chair of the Center Street bid, he feels Center Street needs $500 million in development in order to see some sort of economical impact. And that's just brick and mortar.
Right.
We're not even talking about lives of people. And if we really are talking about impacting and transforming a new Milwaukee where minorities are not the worst for everything, and Wisconsin isn't leading the nation for racial, economic, whatever we're terrible for. We're so great at being terrible for everything minorities. So like, why can't we find $1 billion to impact like long-term generational change?
Well, in that case, Ray, $1 billion is underselling it then. You know, that's what I'm saying. You're doing a discount at $1 billion. You're right.
That was my top number.
That was the starting point.
That was our internal number.
Well, you know what's interesting, Ray, to your point, like, I think what the pandemic and what the recent uprisings have shown is that we have always lacked a certain amount of imagination as to what's possible, right? And I think the both COVID-19 has and the uprising has really sort of ripped open this scab over like what we actually can get done, right? Because they both these things have really turned over the apple cart. And I think to your point, right, DC is passing these $1.2 trillion stimuluses every month. and yet at the same time, we and you and everybody else has been told there's no money for programs that help families. There's no money for the arts. There's no money for all this stuff. And it's like, well, that's patently untrue, right? We've been able to do all of this stuff. And so I think this is a really unique moment for us to try to find, to sort of thread a needle, not a small needle, right? But a pretty big needle in trying to get some of these funds to reinvest into communities. And I think some of the conversations as to budget priorities as it relates to public safety, or even how the state might invest in communities to platform a rebirth. I think this is a really unique moment, and I think the work that you guys are doing right now is just a part of that, right? And I think is a key example of how young folks like you all are really sort of taking the lead on making the city a much more inclusive and equitable and creative place. It's really incredible, incredibly inspiring.
With that, man, we were so grateful for you guys being on the show today, and want to know, where can they find you? Because you're more than just this deal. You contain multitudes. You got a lot of work going on, a lot of cool projects. Can you share with the listeners how they can find you either online or how they could be part of this project? Maybe you want to, be one of those businesses that's featured or want to live there. How can they find either this project or find you?
Well, this is QL Amin. I can be found at, if you go to my website, scott-crawford, Crawford is CRAWFORD.com, and click on the contact us. We have a portion there to, if you want to rent with us, if you want to work on the project as a subcontractor, it's all there, or on any social media site, and you can Google me, QL Amin, and I'll come up.
Great.
Mike. Yeah, I was same. Any social media site, Mike Hill Wesley's Facebook, Mike Hill Wesley, LinkedIn. I'm probably one of the few people in the world that does not have an Instagram. keep saying maybe I'll get one day. So my friends are always tagging me on Instagram. It's Instagram list Mike Hill. My wife does it too. But yeah, Facebook or any of those, or LinkedIn or any other social media like that. And people can also email me as well, Michael at urbane-communities. Urbane is U-R-B-A-N-E, -communities.com.
Great. Ray.
Ray Nitti. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, All Ray Nitti, RayNitti. You could email me at ray@sharpcreatives, ray@sharpcreatives, SHARP creatives. And yeah, you can find us on Center Street every day, 32nd and Center as well. if you ever want to meet us in person, we're on Center Street every day.
You just get around the ambassadors of Center Street. You just rolling up and down and
pull up.
Man.
Yo, I love it.
Oh, and I do want to say one thing, right? Like, I do want to say one thing before we go. I want to thank Q and Mike Kell, right? This is a perfect example of like having creativity at the table, right? Where it typically isn't in the beginning stages. And they saw like, okay, somebody like me, where people traditionally just look at me as the guy that made Bow. They saw like, oh, you could bring a creative input, a community to this. And I feel like I want to commend those brothers for being a great example of like what including and putting value on the creative talent in the city of Milwaukee looks like. And they're extremely humble. This is Wisconsin's largest affordable housing project that is privately owned, and it is owned by African-American males. So I want to champion these fellas, our team. We got a great team. I'm proud of them. And I thank them for what they have made a platform for not just myself, but for many creatives and generations to come in this city.
On that note, gentlemen, congratulations in advance. Congratulations on the work that's to come. I'm reminded of this quote by Tony Cade Bambara, which is, "The role of the artist is to make revolution irresistible." And you three together remind me of that quote. Thanks for helping us, inspiring us about the city. And who knows, years from now, we're going to make coins about this. We have stamps. We were there. I got to talk to these cats who made this happen. So thanks for joining us here at Imagine and inspiring us. And we look forward to following up with you as this topic comes. Yeah, that was great.
So much fun.
I mean, it was a lot to handle, man. That was like one of those like, what is those like fatal four-way matches? I got to keep the wrestling going. You know, there's so much action in the ring, out of the ring.
Is that a Royal Rumble, like a battle royale?
Something like that. Fatal five-way.
I joked about the Survivor Series before the break, but I mean, it was. I think we made it. We
did all right. We did all right. I just want to celebrate how, I think it's, I'm so glad that we have those guys in Milwaukee, and really caring about, you know, talent retention, talent development, right? And seeing the abundance that's happening on the north side, which traditionally hasn't been known for that, right? That's not a common narrative that we hold collectively as a city. But these three are saying, why not? And I think by example, they're changing it, not just through narrative, but also, as Q had said, through actions itself. And getting landing a $60 million investment is amazing. So,
yeah, and I think for me, the persistence that they showed over the 4 years, and then to your question about like what was the almost the creative spark that changed their approach, which got them to the non-competitive tax credits, which then sort of created this basically a funding source that only they were competitive for, right? Which then made all of the funding sort of come in, the initial funding come into place, which is just so incredible how this group of friends were able to kind of like stay with it. And now they're here at the precipice of putting together this incredible $60 million project.
But you know, the thing about it is that like, because now it's more real, I think more people are going to want to be a part of it. Right. And they're going to want to, yeah, it's daunting, but I think there's a lot of people that want this to win. And I think I'm really excited to see.
again, why wouldn't you invest in that neighborhood, right? Like, I think that's, again, that subtext of like, and that's sort of what they're getting after, which I think is so, just so powerful.
Well, I appreciate those folks for coming on board, and I appreciate you for listening to another edition of the Imagine This Podcast pod. Be sure to give us a positive review, share the pod with others. And if you got feedback for us or other ideas for things you want to hear, email us at pod@imaginemke.org.
Make sure you hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at @imagine_MKE or Facebook at @imaginemke. Mention the pod on social media and we will make you a #imaginaryfriend. And again, don't forget to subscribe and listen to our pod baby, Arts Forward MKE, hosted by Lindsay Sheridan. It comes out again this Thursday. And you won't want to miss it if, judging by the first two episodes, this one with Brandon Minga coming up on Thursday is going to be incredible.
Till then, talk to you next week.